Case for argument, Adebowale versus Mukasey. Mr. Sanders.
Good morning, judges. Raymond Sanders. On behalf of Mr. Adebowale, we have a situation where an asylum hearing was missed, and the asylum was dismissed as being abandoned. Motion was filed to reopen, turned down, appealed to the BIA, and turned down. We filed a petition, and I'm sorry, Mr. Adebowale filed a petition with the court to open it. And we feel that the totality of circumstances and the inability to follow the regulations give us grounds for reversal.
Why is he seeking asylum from Britain? I've never seen that before. Someone afraid to be sent to Britain?
He has various grounds that he has pursued.
He's going to be persecuted in Britain?
Yes, Your Honor.
The government of Britain is going to be persecuting people? That's a new one.
We haven't gotten into the issue of the asylum because the asylum case was not heard. And I don't have these issues before me.
Seems totally frivolous. Have you ever seen a case where someone has been granted asylum because the British government, I mean, maybe in the revolution or something?
Not yet, Your Honor, but perhaps this may be the first.
The first? Britain turning into a...
This may be it.
The issue is, first shall we send this back or shall we reverse it and review everything or send it back for a hearing?
What support did he give for his excuses like he had a virus and he couldn't appear because he had that virus and then he couldn't read the
virus
properly?
The virus was a contributing cause to his unsettled situation, which had many prongs
to
it.
What proof does he have that he had the virus?
His statements to the immigration judge and his affidavit to the Board of Immigration Appeals.
Who diagnosed that he had a virus?
I would say it was self-diagnosed because there was no doctor's treatment. He could not afford to go to a doctor.
So he has no proof of it other than his own word.
Right. And the problem is not that there was not just no proof, but the lack of proof was expanded by the immigration judge and the BIA to say, oh, this shows that he wasn't sick, this shows that he didn't go to a doctor, it shows that he wasn't bedridden. They made erroneous conclusions from the lack of evidence, and this was part of the many errors in the totality of the whole picture that go towards showing that due process and erroneous conclusions were drawn by the immigration judge and the BIA.
What was the nature of his viral infection?
It made him disoriented.
No. What was the nature of the infection?
Pardon?
What was the nature of the infection?
I'm not a medical doctor. He's not a medical doctor.
Was it his stomach, his head? His head? What part of him was afflicted?
His description was that it was a fever. It made him disoriented, had flu-like symptoms, which affected his stomach, and contributed to his misreading the date on the notice when he went to review it from 7 to 9 because the 7 had a mark through it, and it sort of looked like a 9. And he didn't realize this till the day after. There were also other contributing factors. He was under a lot of pressure because he had received eviction notices from his landlord. He felt he was about to be homeless. And all of this contributed to his unsettled and disoriented condition, which caused him to miss this, which we would characterize as a serious illness that would cause him to qualify for missing the hearing and be able to go back and present his asylum case to the judge.
But the problem is that if we agreed with you, then we've given everybody know, it's like when, you know, policemen or pilots call in sick, you know, in order to as a slow down or semi-strike.
Well,
everybody can argue, yeah, I was disoriented. I had a virus. I was disoriented. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't go to the doctor, but my brain wasn't functioning. So, right? Yeah. Anybody could say that. What is the board supposed to do with that?
Well,
we know that the illegal immigrants, the asylum seekers, are, you know, they've nothing wrong with it, but they're often playing a delay game and they're missing hearings and so on. And surely the board is entitled to demand. Surely the board is entitled to demand more evidence than he presented.
Well, on what? Evidentiary standard did they follow? The board did not follow any evidentiary standard.
Hey, wait a second. Then anybody who doesn't want to show up at his hearing just doesn't show up, and then he says, well, you know, I was disoriented.
Mr. Odivawali filed the motion, and he had asked that, and understood that he was going to get an oral hearing. When he went to talk to the people at the courthouse, they told him, oh, you file this, and then the judge will have a hearing on it, and then you'll get a decision. It came with paperwork, and he was misled that he was going to be able to go in and testify before this. This was another factor in the the total picture in the problems with due process. The immigration court issued a notice that said that he was in violation of his visa. At one time they said it was an asylum hearing, another time the notices said it was a removal hearing. The case gets very clouded with these other issues that contributed to his understanding that he would have a different due process standard. At the BIA level, he had asked for a 3-member panel.
You know, if you heard the previous argument, that we're concerned about this question of jurisdiction over petitions to reopen. So what is your argument? What is the legal error that the board created?
The board violated due process by not giving him his affidavit that he sent to the board of consideration. They said, oh, it came too late, and therefore you didn't submit any evidence, and we're coming to the conclusion that you're not eligible. The rules of the board indicate that evidence should be allowed, and in their form it says, are you going to submit a brief or a statement? So they appear to ask for statements concerning the area.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Sanders. Mr. Palau?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Manuel Palau for the Attorney General. In this case, the petitioner is a solicitor from Great Britain who's seeking asylum from that country. He entered under the visa waiver program.
What's the visa waiver program?
That's an arrangement by statute with various countries that relaxes.
Oh, I see. They don't need a U.S. visa. They just...
Yes, sir.
Just come back. Coming as a visitor or something?
Yes, sir, for 4 months. And when that expired, he filed for asylum based on alleged persecution in Great Britain. The issue here, of course, is his denial of his motion to reopen. I would address the jurisdictional issue under QCANA in that, if I may just quickly drop a footnote, that the government's not on all fours with QCANA but respects it as binding precedent. I would argue that under QCANA that there is no colorable issue of constitutional issue or question of law here, and that under QCANA this case should be dismissed for lack of jurisdiction. And I would analogize the facts here as those present in the Huang decision, where several aliens cases were resolved under that case. This, to me, is analogous to the alien Lee situation, where he mainly takes issue with the weight that the agency gave to his evidence. And in that case, Judge Posner, as you know, the court found that there was no question of law raised in that situation. I think that's what we have here. So if the court concurs that QCANA applies to the situation, I believe it should dismiss the case for lack of jurisdiction. Jurisdiction aside, the issue is, of course, abuse of discretion. The petitioner here, in order to have an opportunity to reopen the case, had to demonstrate exceptional circumstances under the statute. And the circumstances that he alleged here, we would argue, do not even come close to that standard. Here, his main argument is that he misread the handwritten date on the notice of hearing as September 9th instead of the correct date, September the 7th. He argued that factually alleged that the handwriting was illegible. The immigration judge found that it was not. He said, exacerbating his reading of the date was that he claimed to have a viral infection of some sort, and that also he was under stress because he was allegedly facing eviction from his apartment. At bottom, what the agency found here is you've made your allegations of exceptional circumstances, but they're very general and nonspecific. The agency did not require a doctor's notice. They noted in passing that there was no verification of his viral condition with a doctor's note, but that did not preclude him from describing the exact nature of what he was suffering and why that contributed to his inability to read a date on a notice. Even assuming that all these three conditions were present, the fact is that he was given personal notice of the hearing date back in January of the same year. The date was announced in open court. He acknowledged the date to the immigration judge. 8 months passed. There's no evidence, of course, that he was unable to understand the date during that eight-month period. And there just wasn't enough here for the agency to determine that his inability to attend the hearing because he couldn't read a date was an exceptional circumstance. And I would just clarify that he's not saying he couldn't attend because he was sick and bedridden. In fact, he went to the court twice the following day to submit his motion to reopen. What he's saying is all these conditions kept me from reading the date accurately. And that just doesn't wash, given that the date was announced to him 8 months prior, and he's had the notice for 8 months, and there was just no rational explanation for why he would fail to understand a date during that period.
He just missed it. He goofed.
I believe that's what happened here.
He intentionally missed this. Blew it.
I have no reason to believe he did. And as his counsel notes, he appeared for other hearings, but he didn't exercise the same level of diligence for this hearing, which was a critical one. And I would also note that he's a solicitor, and he's well aware of the drill. I mean, he's aware that when he's given a hearing notice from the court, that he must be there and what the consequences are of his failure to appear. So I would say this is just not even a close case here. We're never going to know why he didn't appear at this particular hearing. He's made his allegations, but the board needs something to work with, and he just didn't give it to them in this case. And I would submit that its decision to deny the motion to reopen was well within its discretion.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Powell.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Sanders, do you have anything further?
The due process problem and the erroneous conclusions of law on the evidence. They said there was no evidence, but they came out with all sorts of conclusions by the immigration judge. He's not homeless. He wasn't serious. There was no evidence submitted. It's not exceptional circumstances. He just misread it, and not errors of law. Then it was compounded by the due process problems. All of these things were submitted to the BIA, and they did not follow their evidence rules. They said that they would consider his affidavit. They did not give him a three-judge panel, and they didn't follow all of the procedures, the totality of which indicates that this should be reversed and sent back for a hearing to the immigration judge.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Sanders and Mr. Palau.